So what I want to consider today is the parable of the sower. And there's the parable of the sower occurs in three gospels, the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. And I'm taking the version, the version from Mark. But what I want to do to begin with is to consider this transaction that occurs at the core of Christianity. Right at the very centre of Christianity lies a transaction. You know, we realise that we've sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We're not going to make the standards required for heaven under our own steam, and someone needs to do something about that. And so we learn about Jesus dying on a cross for us to pay the penalty for our sin. And that creates a deal. It creates a transaction between us and God where we say, Jesus, I'm going to accept that offer of you to die for my sins so that I don't have to meet the standards of heaven myself. They've already been met in you. And in one sense, our salvation costs us absolutely nothing. And it is absolutely vital that it costs us absolutely nothing. It is free. It has been done by Jesus on the cross. And our justification with God costs us nothing. In fact, the highest price that has ever been paid for anything in the universe was paid for you on that day. That's how much God loves you, that the highest price has ever been paid for anything was paid for you. That's half of the transaction. The other half of the transaction, in another sense, it costs you everything. Because what you say is, Jesus, you died for me on the cross, and now I am going to live for you. You know, you get to this Christian jargon, I've been redeemed, I've been bought back. And we've been bought back by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, this high price. And we say, okay, I'll take that deal, I am now yours. And someone once said, if Jesus is the co-pilot in your life, then change places. You want Jesus being the pilot in your life. And so in that sense, it costs you everything. We're bought now. Yeah, we are his. And what you become is you become what is referred to, again, more Christian jargon, a living sacrifice. So you are living for him. And in that sense, it costs you everything. But as Bernard Thompson once said, and probably others, the problem with living sacrifices is they keep trying to crawl off the altar. And we have this rebelliousness in us whereby actually, I don't fancy God having control of all of my life. I quite fancy having control of little bits, and I don't want God to have that bit. He can have this bit, and if we don't fancy that part of the transaction, we keep trying to rebel against him. But fortunately for us, God is faithful when we aren't. And the Christian life is the process of appropriating that surrender in our life. So God has fulfilled his half of the bargain and paid this high price, and we struggle to totally surrender to him. You know those things in your life where you think, actually, I do struggle with this particular area where I'm trying to fully surrender. And what we want to do is we want to see God's kingdom come in our lives. Do you remember the story of Zacchaeus, where Zacchaeus repents and he tries to put right all of the things he's done wrong and changes his ways? Jesus' remark is, the kingdom of God has come today in this place. And what we are trying to do is see the kingdom of God in our lives more and more as we go along, and see the rule of Jesus applied in our lives more and more. So I'd like you to hold that thought. Stop there and we'll read the parable of the sower. This is from Mark 4, 1 to 20. NIV version. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." Anybody remember the TV program The Office? Do you still anybody used to watch The Office? Ricky Gervais landmark program, that comedy. It's a mockumentary. So it's a pretend fly-on-the-wall documentary of an office in Slough. And they do all the usual sort of office stuff that you do in an office. And it's full of sort of comic ideas. And it's the kind of satire that is so observationally accurate that you actually start watching it from behind your hands and from behind the sofa. And because it centres around this boss, a certain character called David Brent. And David Brent thinks he is the ultimate boss. He thinks he's amazing. And he's running this department. And he just makes all of these management blunders all the time. And he thinks he's doing really good things, but he makes all these management errors. There's this famous scene of an appraisal, which is just cringe, and you're watching it from behind your hands. And the problem is that I think I'm a reasonably good manager, and then suddenly David Brent does something that you do, and you say, "Oh my goodness, I thought I was looking really clever, but my staff are laughing at me." Or David Brent does something else. And I said, "Wait a minute, I do that. I thought I was coming over really, really sensitive. Actually, my staff are thinking that I'm really insensitive." And all these horrible management errors keep getting made in this office sitcom that was there. And It is because the observations are so accurate, they're so acute, they get straight through to the issue. And the parable of the sower here is not a piece of satire or humour, but it is extraordinarily observant. It is a brilliant piece of observational teaching, a little bit like The Office is in its observation, because when I read the parable of the sower, I read it kind of from behind my hands, because I say, oh no, hold on a minute, I do that. I thought nobody noticed, but God notices. And the parable is explained only to the disciples, so they get the kind of the interpretation. Everybody else is left just to chew on it and see what's going on. So what we'll do is we'll go through it, and I'll just sort of step through it, and I'm thinking that, hold on a minute, as we step through it, we're going to be thinking, ooh, kind of, I'm reading this from behind my hands because kind of I do that. And so what we've got is the seed is the word of God, which is sown. Any sowing of the word of God, it appears to be. So God, a message from God, some sort of idea from God, conviction, invitation is being sown by the farmer here, and there's sort of four ground, and we are the ground, and there's four different types of ground that the seed lands on, and the first one is the path, and so the seed lands on the path, it doesn't go in, it doesn't form roots, and the birds just take it away, and that stands for people who give no serious consideration to the word, the message that is given to them. It just bounces off. And if you've been hanging around in church long enough, you know, you see people like this. If you've been preaching the word of God to people, you see plenty of this happening in church, you know, or when you're talking to people, about Jesus, and you know, it's not gone in, it's just bounced off the surface, not interested, and then Satan takes the message away and something else takes priority. You know, we all see that. The second one is the rocky places, and there's kind of a slight progression in time here. Yeah, so immediately the message is taken away. And then we have the rocky places which spring up quickly but have no root. So people receive the word with joy, they're great, but there's no root, and they follow this, they follow Jesus or whatever the invitation has been while it suits them. Maybe God sorts something out for them, you know, they come back to God, God sorts something out for them, fantastic. But when it doesn't suit them any longer, they quickly fall away. When trouble or persecution comes along, or it's inconvenient, they fall away. And we've all seen that happen in church again. So, moving on in time again, there's the seed that's sown amongst the thorns, and it grows up, and it appears to be doing quite well. There's a plant forming there. You know, there's potential for fruit to happen, but worries or wealth or cares or the desire for other things choke the plant, and it doesn't end up bearing any fruit. It doesn't end up growing a harvest. And we've all seen this as well in church. If you've been in church long enough, you see people and they get it. They're coming along. You know, they seem to be going along and doing really well, but what God wants for them in their lives never seems to hit the top of the priority list. Something else always cuts in. And there's kind of two kinds of things, good things and bad things, that kind of, or seemingly good things, you know, opportunities that they could be doing something exciting over here, or maybe something really challenging happens. And in the face of one or other or both of those things, the plant doesn't mature, it just gets choked. And we've seen people like this. People who could be used by God, but it never quite gets to the top of the priority list in their lives. Again, I'm watching from behind my hands here. I'm not preaching to you as though none of this applies to me. It applies to me probably more than to most of you. And then you get the people who hear God's word, and they accept it, they act upon it, and I mean, they get the deal, they get what happens, they bear tremendous fruit for God's kingdom. And again, if you've been hanging around in church long enough, you see plenty of people like that who God does wonderful things in their lives, and they bear tremendous fruit for the kingdom of God. Very often, simply by being willing. You know, it does, you know, God doesn't say, well, this transaction I talked about only applies if you've got skills A, B, C, or D. Other than that, I'm not interested. God knows what he has for you, and he has amazing plans for you, which will come to fruition if you are willing. And very often, that's all that's required, just a little bit of willingness. So let's go back to the deal. Remember this transaction, Jesus dying on a cross. In one sense, it costs us nothing, and in another sense, it costs us everything. The full surrender of our lives to him, God's kingdom growing in us. And so we're all here on church on Sunday morning. And we're thinking to ourselves, well, I must be the good soil because I'm here. You know, at least I've got here on church on Sunday morning. It doesn't apply to me. It applies to them out there, the people we can see, or I can see that you're watching, passing the window behind me. No, that's okay, don't worry. I'll be doing the same. We all want to be the good soil, don't we? And when we read this, we're all thinking, hey, you know, we're in church, we must be the good soil. But them out there are not. But I don't know about you, but I see all of these unfruitful characteristics in myself in different ways. God convicts me of something that isn't fully surrendered. Okay, and there's plenty of that in my life. It's not fully surrendered to him, an aspect of life that isn't there. And sometimes I just don't like the timing. And you know, and God says, look, I want to sort this is not surrendered, Quill. And I don't like the timing. I said, well, I'm sorry, I've got a lot on at present. I'm not even prepared to consider this. And it just bounces off. I'm not even going to go there. Okay? You know, I've done that. I don't know, you're smiling. Maybe you've done that as well. Sometimes I genuinely delight to see God at work in my life. Okay, and what we're talking about here is kind of reflected a little bit in the beginning of Romans chapter 12. There's these wonderful verses at the beginning of Romans 12 about being living sacrifices. And what Paul says is this: therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Then the instruction comes: do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we get this idea of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as we do so, we hook on to God's will more and more and more for our lives. But the problem is, we're these three patches of ground as well. We're the hard ground, we're the rocky ground, and we're the thorns. And I don't conform to the pattern of this world if it's inconvenient. I don't want to do that. Now, sometimes I make progress. And I'm really getting somewhere. You know, I'm getting stuck into, I'm being enriched. My plant is growing. But worries or hassles cut in. A lot of exciting opportunities happen to pop in at that point, just as God's about to bear fruit in my life. And not all exciting opportunities come from God. And as a result of exciting opportunities that I get drawn into, or I could be doing this instead, that sounds fun. Or if a lot of painful situations come, it can be very, very difficult to see past them. You know, we've all experienced these times when the the difficulties are overwhelming sometimes, and you think, oh, and you know, lo and behold, it happens to be at that point where God is about to bear fruit in your life. And you can let the exciting opportunities distract you. You can be overwhelmed by the difficulties in your life, and they distract you, and you don't bear the fruit. You don't have any real impact. So does anybody else, or is this just me?
No, it's not just you.
So, I've got a little bit of time left, which is good. I want to return to this transaction. Remember the transaction that we talked about. What we're trying to do is appropriate the kingdom of God in our lives. Or more accurately, what we're trying to do is allow God to appropriate the kingdom of God in our lives. Give him enough of our lives to allow the plant to grow. And it is also about bearing fruit. So this transaction, this half of the transaction, and what happens as a result of appropriating the kingdom of God in our lives is about bearing fruit in our lives. Okay, so what it's about actually having a practical impact and achieving something for the kingdom of God. And Jesus is describing three ways where that doesn't happen for three different reasons. And so we've got about 15 minutes left, which is great. So I'd like to move into a point where we can just chat about this to one another, and I'd like to ask you two questions. Firstly, I'd like you to react to what I've said and just sort of comment, you know, maybe one of the three of the hard ground, the path, the quickly springing up but getting withered, or the plant that gets choked, is one that speaks more strongly to you. Or maybe you're dealing with something at the moment where one of those applies. You know, maybe God is saying to you, there's an aspect of your life here that isn't surrendered, and you're about to say to him, hold on a minute, this is not good timing. I don't want to deal with this now. Maybe you are really excited about something that God has done in your life, but you haven't really put a root down where you think, I really want to draw on God. Maybe it's about to wither. Or maybe you're at the cusp of opportunities that you can apply to the kingdom of God where fruit is really going to come. But there are exciting opportunities that you're thinking about, or there are really challenging times that you are thinking about, or that are on your mind, that threaten to choke this and stop God's fruit coming out of your life. So that's question number one. I'll be really interested in your thoughts. Question number two is, what advice would you give to us? You know, here we are. I've laid out the scene. But we want to move on from that, and we want to try not to be the three unprofitable patches of ground. You know, we want to be the good soil, don't we? And so what advice would you give to us to ensure that we are the good soil and not one of the other three, if we're dealing with one of the other three? So there are two questions: react and advise. Over to you. What do you think?
As I was listening, and I agree absolutely, you can get distracted with something good, or stuff can be going on that can also take up your mind. And as you're describing that, I think you're implying that the enemy is at work in those situations in order to stop us being fruitful. So yeah, we are in a battle. The enemy isn't wanting us be fruitful Christians,
yeah.
And that's a tough one, isn't it? How you battle that, and how do you, how can you stop like disasters going on in your family, for instance, that require you to put your energies and your thoughts? You can't stop these things, and you can't easily stop the enemy from working against you.
It's amazing the timing, isn't it? You know, you if you set out to do something for the kingdom of God, and you think, yeah, you know, this is, I'm going to commit myself to this, and you go, wow, what's over here? You know, suddenly something really exciting starts to distract you, or something challenging happens in your life, and you're thinking, you know, I can't look past this challenge.
Yeah. I think going to the first point you said, Quill, about putting the seed onto rocky ground. I mean, a lot of people use the church for their own devices, like weddings and funerals and christenings. A couple of years ago, there was a christening here, and I was stood next to a chap, and I could feel it in him. He was very uncomfortable. He couldn't wait to get out of the church, and it's really sad. You know, he wanted to be there for christening, but he just didn't. It was,
yeah,
I could feel in it that he didn't have the spirit.
Yeah, and very often, of course, that kind of negative reaction to church comes from people who've had really bad experiences, and it's very challenging for them even to darken the door of a church again, isn't it? You know, you feel for them, don't you? And you think to yourself, I know, you kind of pray, Lord, you know, don't let that bad experience stop them from finding you.
Yeah.
Because you find plenty of faults in church, but you won't find any faults in God, and that's who we want them to meet.
And don't ever give up. I mean, you know, not how down, how far down you go, don't ever give up on God, because He is there. And you know, there is power in prayer, no doubt about it. I know that from experience. You know, there is power in prayer, and it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had this last week, didn't we? Were you here last week?
Sorry?
When that Ukrainian pastor spoke,
yes,
actually you'd have identified with that. I don't know if it got recorded last week, but he talked about serving troops on the front line in Ukraine, and he was delivering. You'll have to listen to the recording. I might not be relaying this.
I don't think it was recorded. I don't think so, because I looked for recording.
Maybe it wasn't recorded. In which case, I will stop this recording.
Yeah.